The gospel lesson from Luke this morning was relatively long because it contained the detailed account of Jesus' trial before Pilate, his crucifixion, and his burial. That reading occurs on Palm Sunday reveals the brilliance of the architects behind the lectionary. On Palm Sunday, Jesus rides into Jerusalem while the people shout, "Hosanna," a word which means "save us now." And this is precisely why Jesus comes to Jerusalem. He comes to save. However, those expecting Jesus to save by erecting an earthly kingdom independent from the Romans would be greatly disappointed. Jesus will save, but not by some raw demonstration of divine power, overthrowing ruthless earthly tyrants and rulers. Instead, Jesus rides into Jerusalem to save by crucifixion. And what he saves us from now is not confused tyrannical governments, but the eternal consequences of sin. Hosanna, you see. Hosanna finds its fulfillment at the cross, as Jesus rides into his city to save humanity by being hoisted up upon a tree. Hence the reason on this Palm Sunday we rejoice and praise, giving all glory, laud, and honor to our King. Our King enters Jerusalem in the name of the Lord to bring salvation to the world through his death. Palm Sunday is not separate from the events of Holy Week. Rather, it is connected to and leads us into Holy Week. The Lord Jesus Christ is without sin, and his innocence is on full display when he stands before Pontius Pilate. There's more than a little irony in seeing a ruthless pagan governor declare Jesus innocent of death, while God's chosen people vehemently call for his destruction. The Jewish high court accuses Jesus of misleading the nation of Israel. That accusation reveals their blindness and hardness of heart because Jesus misleads no one. He does not deceive, but he leads people into the truth of God in his preaching and his teaching. They also accuse Jesus of forbidding taxes to Caesar, another lie. Quite the opposite. Jesus says, "Give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's." They brazenly bear false witness before Pilate to get Jesus condemned. They tell Pilate that Jesus claims to be a king. And when Pilate talks to Jesus about this, his conclusion is that Jesus is innocent. And even the puppet king of Israel, Herod himself, questions Jesus at length and concludes he is innocent. But the verdict of innocence spoken by Pilate fails to convince the people. Their cries for crucifixion are too strong and persuade even the Roman governor to release Barabbas, the insurrectionist and the murderer, and condemn instead Jesus. The sinner is freed. The innocent one is convicted. Jesus is crucified between two convicted criminals, but still intercedes for his enemies when he says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." One of the criminals reviles Jesus, the other seeks the mercy of God and receives a place in paradise. This gospel lesson this morning, friends, tells us a lot about God and a lot about humanity. It's not difficult to find professing Christians who are concerned about society tearing itself apart as it slips further from a godly morality towards moral decadence and chaos. Statistics showing plummeting church attendance reveal the obvious, which is Less people going to church means less people hearing the powerful, holy word of God. This is a problem. This is a problem because God's word creates faith to see what is pleasing and what is evil. Less people hearing means less people believing, and so less people knowing what is true and what is false. Without faith, the sinner is dead and blind to the will of God. This is true today as it was in Jesus' day. His enemies are blind to what they do. They have rejected their king and they are calling for his death. But what does Christ do from the cross? He is merciful. He is gracious. He intercedes for them and pleads for them, calling upon the Father to forgive them, for they know not what they do. Stop and think about that for a second. Christ is crucified, and he prays for forgiveness for his enemies. Such a display of divine grace and favor should cause us to pause a bit and even repent when we are not gracious to our neighbor and we are not forgiving towards our neighbor when they do something terrible like cut us off on the road or gossip behind our back. Christ dies for his enemies, friends, and he forgives them. He forgives them even while he hangs, bleeding and dying. Even while they reject his forgiveness, Christ intercedes for them. We aren't so kind, are we? And we aren't so gracious. We get mad at little things and look upon our neighbor in disgust when they say something we disagree with. We're quick to hold grudges and slow to be merciful. We're very good at remembering our neighbor's sins, even the sins of our spouse, while conveniently forgetting our own. We know not what we do, and so we too constantly need God. We constantly need God to turn us from our wickedness and to faith in him. You see, there is a Barabbas in all of us. There's a Barabbas in all of us, a sinful flesh committing murder in the heart and rebelling against God and his word. Yet, we heard it this morning from Luke 23. Who goes free? Barabbas. Who dies? The innocent one. The theological point to take from this is, you go free because Christ was crucified for you. You are guilty of sin, yet God pronounces you innocent because of Jesus. Jesus takes your place. Jesus dies the death we deserve. It's a pure gift of God. He takes your sin so that you are no longer held accountable for that sin. The Lord dies in your stead, suffering the wrath of God, bearing down on him for every single sin we have committed. God's wrath falls upon Christ, and he takes it willingly out of his love for you. Repent and hold fast to this promise, Christian. Believe in what Christ has done, because he and he alone has fulfilled every one of your shouts of Hosanna. He has done it in his suffering and in his death. Now, Barabbas is not the only character in this account, we should note. There are also two criminals on the sides of Jesus. One thinks Jesus should save by escaping his bodily death, which tells us even at the cross, Satan is tempting Jesus to abandon the mission. Our Lord is hearing the cries, "If you are the Christ, save yourself." Look out for number one, save yourself if you are truly the Christ. Even at the crucifixion, Satan does not want Jesus to shed blood, to purchase the world, to reconcile the world to God. The other criminal knows he is a sinner. The other criminal knows he is a sinner and that he deserves his punishment and that Jesus is innocent. And he does not call for Jesus to come down from the cross, but he beseeches his Savior to remember him when he comes into his kingdom. Lord, remember me when you go into your kingdom. He has faith in Jesus before tasting death, and God grants him paradise on that very day. My friends, like the thief on the cross, we have nothing to give, nothing to offer, nothing in our flesh that merits God's divine mercy, grace, and favor. And we may also note about this thief on the cross, he had no time to go get his life straight before coming back to God. He had no time to amend his life and perform a pile of good works before getting God's attention. All he can do when he is hanging there, convicted, suffering and dying when he sees Jesus, is repent of his sin and beg for mercy. And he calls upon his gracious God to remember him. And remember him, he does. At that very hour, the Lord Jesus grants him paradise. I leave you with this. For all of your sins, all of your baggage, all of your guilt, all of it, for those things, Jesus rides into Jerusalem. He rides into Jerusalem ultimately to die to save us now. Salvation has been secured for you by Jesus, and not even death can undo this work of God. And it is this work, the work of Christ, that we get to celebrate and remember this Holy Week. This Holy Week in which we hear about God's work in Christ to save sinners. My friends, our hosannas have been answered. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus from now unto life and paradise everlasting. Amen.